Waking up is the hardest part of dreaming.
Horrors. With skin bubbling, dripping, walking in a frozen expression of their own. Faces with a blank sadness. An extreme heaviness of the body where movement is an impossibility. Despite the monstrousness, each sculpture is recognizably human. It could be your father, my father, or perhaps myself. Inspired by a mutual love of Alberto Giacometti's sculptures, I had made my then mentor a gift when I abandoned my studies. It was a finished page of writing, one of those that come out perfectly shaped all at once, along with his own unique, inimitable Giacometti sculpture. In truth, it was a Swiss banknote with an image of his sculpture printed on it. He wrote to me that it was the best gift a student had ever given to him. At least, that's how I remember the email, and I'm not going to reread it. Let's call that mentor Alberto, after Alberto Giacometti. I had two mentors back then. Let's call the other one Diego, a brother of Alberto Giacometti. And to my eyes, a brother to that mentor too. I left my mentors, friends and studies, the way I learned one says goodbye. Quietly. And without keeping in contact. I had a naive little daydream that I would come back someday with the ambiguous definition of success pinned on me. That evaporated as fast as any real dream when I awoke to Diego's sudden death. Success may have been ambiguous to me, but Diego had a recurring definition phrased as a joke. He had studied in New York City, and the MoMA was the pinnacle of achievement. It was inevitable that I would think of him when I was there, sitting in the MoMA's bathroom. Hesitation galore. I still fulfilled that dream of his, at least. I stuck a photo he had made on a bathroom stall door, a cheap print and plastic tape. But there it was, like he had always said. If they didn't invite him to exhibit at the MoMA, he would have his own gorilla exhibition in the bathroom to say that he had exhibited there. Perhaps the perfume of my shit would deter others from coming in, an exhibition that would last the duration of a stink before someone came and took it down. This was as true a success as my own. Somehow, I had slithered into participating in a publishing project that was being presented in the New York Art Book Fair, a book on a Jewish female artist, Barbara Rubin, who had jumped from extreme to extreme in her life. Full of a timeline of letters she had written to Jonas Mekas, it shows her to be as transitional a figure as any metamorph. I ask her if this is what she wanted. With a published book about her, she is, in a way, immortalized. Words that will stay published even though she is dead. A voice that can touch even after passing. Surely that is something to aspire to. With no explicit afterlife in Judaism, I don't expect an answer from her anytime soon. The past me swallows the food for thought to let the idea of the published written word as an aspiration digest. Years later, words blur, a sculpturally frozen moment, magazine in hand. My stomach drops with dread, and I struggle to place it back, but cannot quite yet bring myself to do so. For a random stranger, it was just another one of those hashtag MeToo articles. For me, it was someone I knew. Alberto, the mentor with whom I had shared a love of Giacometti. Nude photos of students. Harassment. That couldn't be true. My knee-jerk reaction was denial. He had been my mentor, and I admired him. My second reaction came later. wondering if some version of those words were true, and releasing a fading and already departed daydream. And perhaps, more meaningfully, a change of self-perception occurred, that for a short, faltering step of a moment, I too clutched hard at a knee-jerk disbelief that he couldn't have done so, when the ones who know the truth are the ones who were there. I walk on treacherous ground, changing on an imperceptible line whose end I do not see. One wrong step and I will slip and fall. My legs lengthen impossibly, my skin pockmarking into a gravel surface made of a familiar bronze casting. My foot slides uncontrollably. I become a figure in the distance, blank even when up close. Stepping away makes a light squelching sound of the disgusting sort, the subtle softness on the soul when you have stepped into shit. That's me in the present, both far away and close, in Braunschweig, as I dodge another dog turd on my way to the supermarket, where the background satire to it all is a Braunschweiger joke. You can't take the Braun out of the Schweig. For those who, like me, didn't get the joke, the Braun is a reference to Nazi uniforms. It was never funny, and I hope the person who explained that to me saw that in the end. Someday, I want to see Diego, or his true name, Micha Kirschner, exhibited outside of Israel, in a place with a reach like the MoMA, regardless of any institutional criticism I may have. Its influence is undeniable. In the tradition of activist photography, his photos took a stand for Palestinians. In the way art tends to be, they were an act of resistance. In a private moment in class, he told me a secret. Or at least, that is how I remember it, since I can no longer relive it. The truth of the occasion is gone. The photos were not only a quiet revolution in Israel, but in his private sphere as well. Both for some of the people closest around him, and as an act of revelation for himself. That is the trace of mentorship that has stayed with me, a wish for myself and a goal that he had set for himself, to be brave enough to face disbelief, even when looking at the environment we grew up in. I wish I could ask him about Alberto, although I doubt that my understanding would change. The truth is fractured, and so is my trust between student and mentor.